Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, Jai and Vijay, cursed by the sages, text number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. I am the master of my unobstructed internal energy. And the water of the Ganges is the remnant left after my feet are washed. That water sanctifies the three worlds along with Lord Shiva, who bears it on his head. If I can take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava on my head, who will refuse to do the same? The difference between the internal and external energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that in the internal energy, or in the spiritual world, all the opulences are undisturbed, whereas in the external or material energy, all the opulences are temporary manifestations. The Lord's supremacy is equal both in the spiritual and material world, but the spiritual world is called the kingdom of God. The material world is called the kingdom of Maya. Maya refers to that which is not actually fact. The opulence of the material world is reflection. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that this material world is just like a tree whose roots are up and branches down. This means that the material world is the shadow of the spiritual world. Real opulence is in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the predominating deity is the Lord Himself, whereas in the material world, there are many lords. That is the difference between the internal and external energies. The Lord says that although He is the predominating factor of the internal energy, and although the material world is sanctified just by the water that has washed His feet, He has the greatest respect for the dominance of the Vaishnavas. When the Lord Himself offers so much respect to the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas, how can one deny such respect to such personalities?
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Chak Sri Rupam Sadrajatam Sahaganaraganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Suvadutam Pradijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagama Lalita Sri Visharam Nidam Chan Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Svamiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtaite Shatarine.
So here the Lord is making a very poignant point. He is so exalted in personality that the water that is washed is deep becomes the Ganges River, which sanctifies the three worlds along with Lord Shiva, who bears it on his head. Just consider how exalted is the position of the Supreme Lord. But even he, in that exalted position, he's very much happy and enlivened to take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas on his head. And he says, who would refuse to do the same? So, just see how important it is to worship the devotees. Just see, very, very important thing. This reconfirms the point we have many times described from the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakti jana partha, na me bhaktas te te jana, mad bhaktanam che ye bhaktas, te me bhakti tamamata, My dear Arjun, the one who is my devotee, Name Bhaktas, he's not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, you're not devoted to devotees, what kind of devotee are you? You're not much of a devotee, really. You're called a Kanishta Adhikari, materialistic devotee. The one who becomes truly devoted to devotees, they are called Madhyamadhikari, or Uttamadhikari, in the perfectional stage. So, we have to learn how to respect the devotees. Does that mean I blindly accept everything the devotees do? Some neophyte devotee is doing something wrong and I think, well, I have to respect him because he's a devotee, so whatever he's doing must be right. No. Prabhupada respected his disciples and devotees. At the same time, he was always correcting us as well. Correcting us again and again and again, training us how to become Krishna conscious. So respecting someone doesn't mean you can't train them. The spiritual master has a duty to train his disciples, and senior devotees have a duty to train the junior disciples. Doesn't mean they're being disrespectful if they give you some training. Sometimes a neophyte thinks, oh, I'm not being respected. I'm being corrected and chastised for doing something wrong, and therefore I'm not being respected. No, that's a misunderstanding. If someone is taking the time and trouble to correct you for things you're doing wrong, what greater respect? They're helping you become Krishna conscious. They're helping you to get out of this material world. So we should never misunderstand when someone is correcting. In fact, Prabhupada one time said, the student who is more chastised, he is advanced. What was his position? In relation to his spiritual master, he said, you are such a fool, you cannot understand Vedanta, therefore you better just chant Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was chastised. So what is my position? You see, if Lord Chaitanya is chastised, well, I can't be chastised. What kind of craziness would that be? So we have to learn how to take the corrections of our superiors. Or even our peer can point, even if a junior can point something else. One who is really sincere, he will take it from wherever it comes. It's said that gold is gold, even if it comes from a filthy place. We see in Prabhupada's example, when he was distributing Bhaktivedanta magazine in Delhi in the early days, somebody said, well, a magazine, they won't think very seriously. Why don't you print books? And Papa said, yes, he took that. That was just from some Hindu gentleman. But he took that as a very poignant instruction, you see, coming from a Hindu gentleman. And he started writing, he took to writing the Bhagavatam. So we should learn how to take instructions wherever they may come from. Always be open to see, how is Krishna giving me guidance, how to get out of this material world? One has to always be looking. How can I understand this process better than I do now? If you think you've already mastered the science of Krishna consciousness, then you're an illusion because you haven't mastered it yet. You see, we have a long way to go to Uttama Bhakti. We were discussing last night in our seminar. So we have to learn how to take the corrections and directions from the Vaishnavas. That is part of our respect for them. To take their instructions very seriously. Not that I offer my obeisances to you and then I can't take any advice from you on how to be a better devotee. If you really respect, then you will take the directions and advice how to become more situated in Krishna consciousness. I was very fortunate. I was trained up by a very nice devotee, Vishnujan Swami. Prabhupada told me, he said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnujan Maharaj. But I got chastised a lot. Rascal was a very common word describing from him. Rascal. one day I was driving the Jeep, the temple Jeep, and I backed out the driveway, and you can run over the curb, you don't really, don't see where you're going, you run over the curb and you're backing out the driveway. Rascal driving, even. So, we have to learn, that is our position. The more you can understand, yes, I am rascal. That's actually how you become Krishna conscious. The more you realize you're rascal number one, that's when you're starting to get really Krishna consciousness. Then thinking, no, I'm not a rascal, I'm actually a great advanced devotee. Come on. Why do you have a material body then? Just like sometimes the prisoners on the side of the road, you see out there, you see them working on the side of the road, you can tell they're prisoners because they have their prison uniform on. Well, this is our prison uniform. This material body is a prison uniform that proves that you're a rascal. You have a material body that proves you're a rascal. So now we have to see how to get out of this rascal position of thinking, yes, I'm great. I'm the center of the universe. Everything revolves around me. How to get out of this? Therefore, we need to learn how to respect the Vaishnavas who are giving us the merciful training how to get back to our original identities as the eternal servants of Krishna in his transcendental pastime in the spiritual sky. This material world is not our home. This is a miserable place. It's called Marchaloka, the world of death. People talk about earning a living, but actually they're earning a dying. Earning a dying. They're working hard to die. Every Monday morning, heading out to earn a dying. Isn't it? You're earning death by simply working to maintain the body. But when you take the Krishna consciousness, now you're truly earning a living. You're earning eternal life by chanting Hare Krishna. So before you go out to earn this, you're dying every work day. First, get up and earn your living by chanting Hare Krishna. You see, that's how you earn your living. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see, but this chanting of Hare Krishna, you conquer over death. Just like when Dhruva was the Vaikuntha airplane came to take him back to Godhead. Death personified came rushing at him and bowed down his head. He stepped on the head of death and entered the Vaikuntha airplane. So devotee is not bewildered by death. He takes death simply as a stepping stone to enter into transcendence. Death is not an issue for a Vaishnava. He has achieved deathlessness. Prabhupada explains that from the very day of initiation, one's deathlessness has begun. Provided you follow the instructions of the spiritual master and Krishna, your deathlessness begins from the very day of initiation, Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles. So, take the initiation vows very seriously if you're initiated, and if you're not, then think very seriously about getting initiated, because that is how we actually formalize our connection with Krishna. That requires learning how to be very respectful. I have to be totally respectful to my Guru Maharaj, my spiritual master. He's my authority. Of course, there are many Siksha Gurus, but Prabhupada told us in a letter we got in Austin back in 71 or 72. 71, most likely. He said, actually, you only have one Guru, and that's the one who initiates you. But others who teach the same thing that you're initiating Guru or teaching, they are Siksha Guru, instructing Gurus. So it's not that we can, I have... Someone says this, someone says that. I take a little here, a little there, and put together my own program of Krishna consciousness. Your spiritual master is your authority, and that's it. He's your authority. You follow his instructions, and that's it. And others who are teaching the same thing, just like Jaya Takamaraj told me to represent him in his absence right now. So I understand because I'm preaching from Prabhupada's books. I'm teaching the same thing. the same teaching. So anyone who is purely preaching from Prabhupada's books, they are presenting the same thing. So they are Siksha Gurus, really. It's like I have many godbrothers who are like, they're Siksha Gurus for me. Because they're teaching me exactly what Prabhupada says. So we have actually one authority in this movement, that is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And those who purely follow Him, they are doing the greatest service with the suffering humanity. Prabhupada said, our mission is to save the whole world from irreligion. That's our mission. So anyone who has fully imbibed the mood of Srila Prabhupada has taken it as their mission to drive irreligion in this planet. Completely free this planet from irreligion. That is the mission of anyone who is sincerely, totally dedicated to following Prabhupada's instructions. Prabhupada said how the Krishna conscious being is always planning how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. And because he is Krishna conscious, his liberation is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also become liberated. So those who are strictly following Prabhupada, they embrace this mission, the world deliverance mission. This world has to be saved. What is the purpose of our being here? The only reason we're actually here is to make the world Krishna conscious. Otherwise, we could go back to Godhead. Of course, we have to be qualified. That's also. We have two reasons. We have to qualify ourselves to go back to Godhead. And while we're here, our mission is to induce as many people as possible to take to this process of Krishna consciousness. Just like now we have our book distribution marathon. It's the most important thing. Prabhupada said again and again, please distribute book, please distribute book, please distribute book. Greater Madanga. This Madanga can be heard in the room or a little further. But these books can be heard all over the world. It's a fact. The more these books go out, the more that people will understand who they really are. That I'm not this material body, I'm an eternal spiritual being. No one is explaining the science of God so perfectly and so clearly as His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The idea of the spirit soul is there in Islam, it's there in Christianity, it's there in Judaism, it's there in Sikhism. But it's not clear. It's not clear. It's like the Christians, my dad said, well, son, the animals don't have souls, so it's okay to eat them. I said, well, Dad, what about the family dog? And he said, well, the family dog has a soul. See, this is sentiment. There's no science. But Prabhupada has scientifically presented this God. You don't find this degree of scientific presentation in anything. There's no scholars, no Christian scholars, no Islamic scholars, no Jewish scholars. Nobody is presenting the science of God so perfectly and clearly as Srila Prabhupada. So everyone can take advantage, you see. The Muslim imams, the Christian priests, the Christian ministers, the Jewish rabbis. Everyone can take advantage of these books and learn how to guide their particular constituents. How to become purely absorbed in love of God. Prabhupada even said we could have, the Christians could have a deity of Lord Jesus and Lord Chaitanya side by side in their church. You see? So, we want that everyone should awaken to Krishna. This, what is the meaning of pure love of God? Everyone should awaken to this. Because without it is simply a hellish condition, being dragged by three modes of material nature from one body to another body to another body, sometimes a human, sometimes an animal, sometimes a reptile, sometimes a worm, sometimes a germ, being dragged millions and millions of lifetimes of being dragged through this hell simply because we try to put ourselves in the center instead of putting God in the center. So we have to learn how to embrace this God-centered conception. This will liberate us from all anxieties. It's practical.
That's why we chant Krishna's name. That's why we bow down to the deity. That's why we offer our food to Krishna before eating, because we learn the art of how to put God back in the center and to keep ourselves as subordinate to the Lord. This process is very, very practical. It's very, very effective. It liberates anybody who takes it seriously. The Bhakti Yoga system is a universal science, applicable to anyone and everyone, Christians, Hindus, Jews, Sikhs, Muslims, etc., is a universal science, and if people will take it seriously, this whole world will be transformed. It will become just like they say in Mumbai, heaven on earth. This planet will become heaven on earth. If Prabhupada's teachings are taken seriously by even 1% of the world population, this will become heaven on earth. So at least we must take it seriously. We have to show the example. Whatever the great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So, who's going to be those acharyas? You see, that's supposed to be you, Prabhu. It's supposed to be you, Mataji. You're supposed to be that acharya. Prabhupada told us in Mayapur, he said, now we have 10,000, and then we will grow to 100,000. Then we will grow to 1 million, then we will go to 10 million, there will be no scarcity of acharyas. So, every ISKCON member is ordered by Srila Prabhupada to become a Vaishnava Acharya, an ideal example of Krishna consciousness. So that's your duty, Prabhu. It's your duty, Manaji. You have to become an Acharya, a pure devotee of the Lord, who shows by example and who preaches purely this message. You may say, well, how can I do that? I'm completely unfit and an incompetent nidwit. How could I possibly be competent? Well, you know, Rupa Goswami says about himself, Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar Devotion, he says, and Prabhupada explains, he says, Rupa Goswami is trying to spread the Krishna conscious movement all over the world, although he feels completely unfit to do so. So, the more you feel unfit, the more you become fit. That's why it's good to be reminded that you're a rascal. You see? The more we can remind that we're rascals, we're unfit, it's fitting. Because that's how we become fit. The more you feel unfit and unqualified, you become more and more empowered to give this knowledge to the suffering souls in such a way that it becomes irresistible. Actually, Krishna is irresistibly sweet. But somehow or other we're blinded right now. We think Maya is sweeter than Krishna. You see? We're in a state of illusion where we find Maya more attractive than Krishna. But by the remedial process of Bhakti Yoga, we can get over this diseased state. We think that Maya is more attractive than Krishna, and we can actually experience the beauty of Krishna at every minute and lose all attraction for the external energy. The external energy is called the inferior energy because it is inferior. It's 10th class. But we're like the hog, you know, you give him vasagula or stool, he'll take the stool. Is it? That is our position. We're like hogs. Krishna or Maya will take Maya. Oh yeah. Instant gratification. In this sense. So we have a lot of work to do to earn our living, to earn our awakening in Krishna consciousness. Therefore we have to very dutifully follow the order of our spiritual masters. You see? Chant our rounds faithfully, follow the regulative principles, work cooperatively as Prabhupada ordered us, to make this movement a grand success. So everyone should do everything they possibly can to help this mission push it forward. Prabhupada gave the example of Indian railways. they had a flyer, or actually a poster at one time, that every employee must see that the wheel on the train is turning. So one employee is sitting, he's the engineer sitting in the engine car pulling the throttle, the train will move out of the station. Another employee is signing a form to authorize the train to move out of the station. So both of them are seeing that the train is moving forward. The wheels on the train are turning. So every ISKCON member should see that this movement is going forward for the deliverance of the suffering souls on this planet. Every devotee should see, it's my duty to see that ISKCON is taking over the world. Saving the world. I should do everything I can to help this movement go forward. Otherwise, we're just dead weight. Don't be dead weight. You dedicate yourself for helping this movement go forward, receiving a guest nicely, distributing a book, cleaning the temple, Harinam, pujari work, you know, donating your money. Everyone should see, what can I do to help ISKCON take over the world as soon as possible? And whether we do it or not, that's another thing. Prabhupada one time said we would, another time he said it's not possible. So it's a challenge. We'll try for it, you see. At least our lives will be, if we make the endeavor that ISKCON will become the predominant educational institution on this planet, recognized by everyone, we make that endeavor, that will purify us, that will qualify us to go back to Gaya. Whether we're successful or not, doesn't matter, but we make that endeavor that this society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, should be accepted as the topmost educational institution for the whole world, from which everyone can be trained how to become perfect in whatever their occupation is. That is our position, ISKCON movement. So our life's goal is to convince everyone in the world to recognize that. Whether they become devotees or not, let them at least recognize the validity and the supremacy of these teachings. So they can start to align themselves with it, to whatever extent they're able to. So perhaps there's some questions. You can pass them forward now. How do we give up lamentation? Well, why don't you make your lamentation transcendental? You can keep lamenting. Kabe habe bolo se dinamam aparada guchi shudana me ruchi kripa bole habe hridoye sanchar. When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? Kabe habe bodo se dinama. When, oh, when will that day be mine? Why don't you lament about your lack of Krishna consciousness? Instead of your lack of money, or sense gratification, or fame, is it? Why don't you lament about your lack of Krishna consciousness? When will that day come when I develop Namruchi, the taste of the name? Now, to me, it's some nam, instead of Namruchi, it's Namuchi. I find the name to be a disturbance sometimes. I want to go to sleep, but I got to chant my round. Learn how to lament your lack of Krishna consciousness. That will awaken your dormant Krishna consciousness when you learn how to lament your lack of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we don't receive any instruction from the spiritual master. Is that because I'm not qualified? Well, he's given tons of lectures. Why don't you just, you know, read what he's written or hear his lectures? Your Guru Maharaj, all the Guru Maharaj is giving so many lectures. Those lectures are recorded. Why don't you hear the lectures? There's tons of instructions out there. Don't be lazy. Go hear tune in to hear his instructions. He's given so many instructions. Not that he has to personally tell you. Actually, every lecture is personal. Every book your spiritual master writes, it is personal. He's personally instructing you through those books and through those lectures. But the instructions are there. You just have to connect with them. how to prepare oneself to receive instructions. Just the instructions are already there, follow them. How to become a pure devotee in the quickest way. What is the fast track? Preaching. Actually, preaching is the fast track. Because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So make your determination, I want to give Krishna to the whole world, and take it up as much as you possibly can, to everyone you possibly can. Share Krishna, give Krishna to everyone. Lord Chaitanya's order, Jari Dekasari Kaha Krishna Ubadesh. Whomever you meet, you give them Krishna. You see, take up this move, I want as a spiritual revolutionary, I want to give Krishna to the whole world. And just give it as much as you can wherever you go. That's the fast track. You want to answer something? Okay, I understand that we should be very respectful to devotees. When it comes to actually dealing with them, I commit so many offenses. What should I remind myself about devotees' dealing? Just remember this nice question you asked. You have a very good realization. You're not being respectful enough to the devotees. Just realize this is your defect. You're not respectful enough to the devotees. And always try to overcome it. You just remember this question you asked, which is a wonderful admission of your heart. And it's a problem we all have. We're all disrespectful to devotees. Whether we show it or not, in our hearts, we don't have proper respect for devotees. That's why we're still in the material world. So recognize your disease. I don't have proper respect for Vaishnavas. And always be trying to overcome it. That's how you do it. Any more? Oh, there's tons of them. Okay. Devotees and non-devotees die in the same way. What is the proof that the devotee has gone back to Krishna? Well, it's very simple. Go back to Godhead and you'll meet him there. Okay. Said it's like the mouth of a cat. There's two ways to experience the mouth of a cat. One is as a rat, and the other is as a kitten. Is it? The kitten is getting a very nice ride. The mother cat picks him up with the skin on his neck. Meow, meow. A nice little ride. Mommy's giving me a ride. But for the rat, and the mouth of the cat is means death. Prabhupada said, ki 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 means dying. He's squealing and screaming and he's dying. It's the same thing. So death for a devotee and death for a non-devotee may appear to be the same. Do you see what's happening? The inside, it's a whole other thing. It's a whole other thing. It's a whole other thing going on. Devotee is actually waking up to Krishna and entering into his abode. Okay, when I have the essence of God, how can I call myself a rascal? Because you have your essence is covered by your lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. That's why you're a rascal, sir. It is said that we've been chanting the holy name already for so many lifetimes. Really? Where is it said? And even gotten a spiritual master in previous lives. Where is that said? I don't remember reading that. Maybe, I mean, I've read all the books, and maybe, I don't remember having read that. Maybe you can refresh my memory. How not to get discouraged by this in this lifetime? Well, I've never read that in Prabhupada's books. But even if you had been chanting in a previous life, and you didn't complete it, what's the difficulty? Pick up wherever you left off and continue. That's all. If Krishna is everywhere, he is in the atoms and between the atoms, so how can there be
a death mantra? Or is it simultaneously present? How can there be a death mantra? Even though Krishna is present, we're not experiencing Krishna. Our death, our state of death, is our being covered by the modes of nature. Even though Krishna is there, we're not experiencing yet.
Death is to the body. Krishna is present. Death is to the body, not to the soul.
Yeah, the soul never died. The body died. So one who identified with his body, he dies. There's no such thing actually death. Literally, there's no such thing as actual death. It's a virtual death only. Because only the body, the self never died. The virtual death means, because he is misidentified with matter, he virtually dies. Not factually, just virtually dies. As years go by in Krishna consciousness, we see our enthusiasm sometimes goes down and complacently sets in. We start taking different aspects of devotional service for granted, how to overcome all this and keep up our enthusiasm. Vishnujan Swami said, casual means casualty. So don't take it casually. Your death can come at any minute. So you've got to be ready. You have to be fixed in total devotion to Guru and Krishna every minute. We're not right now. So we have to beat our mind with shoes in the morning and with a broomstick at night. Mind ourselves. I'm in Maya. I have to get out of Maya and become serious about Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, I may take birth again. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, if someone is practicing Krishna consciousness, how that can go down? I thought the Krishna consciousness expands always, goes forward. So if somebody is practicing Krishna consciousness, how they can go down?
Yeah, that means you're committing offenses. If you're practicing this properly, you're going to feel ever-increasing enthusiasm. If you're not, you're committing offenses. So you've got to study the 10 offenses and see what you're doing wrong. And you're definitely doing something wrong if you're not feeling ever-increasing ecstasy day after day after day. If one missed or didn't follow one of the four regulative principles, even for one time, what is his position? Should he leave the body? If he realized and followed them strictly, he said, okay. Papa told me in a letter one time, he said, once or twice Krishna may excuse, but after that you risk completely losing everything. So maybe you slip, all right, and pick yourself up again. But don't make a habit falling down, Krishna forgive me, falling down, Krishna forgive me. You know, that's not sincere. That's not sincerity. That's a cheating move. Can you please explain deeply Gaura Tattva? Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are one and the same. The devotees in Goloka Vrindavan are so completely in love with Krishna, and Krishna is completely bound by their love. So it seems very difficult to accept that the jiva fell from Goloka. Can you please explain? Actually, it's inexplicable. But Prabhupada simply says misuse of independence. You may say, well, how independence can be misused? Well, independence means you have the facility to misuse it. So what are the odds? If you have no facility to misuse it, then there's no independence. So the facility to misuse the independence has to be there. So what are the odds of somebody misusing their independence? It would be the smallest possible number, right? 1/infinity. That's the odds of a jiva misusing his independence.
How many jivas are there in the spiritual world? 5 million, 10 million? How about an infinite number?
Yes.
So, if you take the odds of a jiva soul, which is 1/infinity of falling down, and multiply it by the number of jivas in the spiritual world, which is infinite, what is 1/infinity times infinity? Any mathematicians in the crowd? The answer is infinity. Therefore, you have an infinite number of living entities who fall into material existence. So there's a mathematical answer for you. Yeah.
So Prabhupada says it's an infinite number, but it's still a small number than what we have in spiritual life.
Yeah. It's a smaller chunk of infinity. Can you please describe your favorite pastime in Krishna's Vrindavan Lila? There's so many, can I say? I really like the pastime after the Govardhan Lila. Indra had come, all the demigods, they worshipped Krishna with great awe and reverence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then they left, and then the coward boys, they saw this paraphernalia there. They worshipped Krishna in their own way. And the demigods were looking down on how the coward boys are worshipping Krishna, and they were absolutely amazed. The mood of the coward boys, they could see it's much higher level than what they had done. That's how much. We go to, what is it? Kunda? Govindakum? Yeah, we go to Govindakum. We always talk about that lila. It's very, very, you were there. Huh? Yeah, it's very ecstatic. Govindakum. That's one of my favorite. Okay. If we keep pushing ourselves to spread Krishna consciousness and ignore ourselves, will Krishna look after us? Actually, pushing yourself to spread Krishna consciousness is the greatest looking after yourself. After reading or hearing, I become very enthused, but when it comes to action, I become lazy. What is going wrong? While you're bouncing from sattva-gun to tamagun. Some of us have that problem when it comes to kirtan and philosophical discussion, but really in life, when it comes to doing some service, we become lazy all of a sudden. This means we're tamagunis. We're getting a little, dipping into sattva-gun a little bit, but then going back to our tamagun nature as soon as the lecture's over. So, you've got to purify yourself. This tamasic tendency, this laziness, Prabhupada said, don't be a lazy fellow. So we have to learn how to work hard. I remember being a lazy person myself. I came out of the hippie movement. We were known for being lazy people. When I heard about working hard, I went, oh my God, oof, work hard. I knew you're supposed to do that, but I was had a little hard time psychologically accepting I've got to work hard. So I remember I asked one sannyasi, and he gave a wonderful answer. This is a big festival in New Vrindavan. I said, well, how to overcome laziness? Because I knew this is my big anartha thing, lazy fellow, you know. The answer was so wonderful. I asked him, how to overcome laziness? He said, in just two words, he gave the most poignant answer. He said, by love. That's the answer. By love. If you love someone, it's not work. You see, just like the mother, she has so much affection for the child, but she's working 24 hours a day to serve that baby. She doesn't think, oh, I have to work so hard. She doesn't think that way. Her affection, her loving affection. So, the way to overcome this tendency for laziness is you have to learn to love. Learn to love Prabhupada, what he, the sacrifice he made. Learn to love your spiritual master. Learn to love the devotees here. It's like we had the get well thing for Jayapataka Swami. I said, get well soon, we love you. You see? This is important. We have to learn how to love the devotees, how to love our gurus, how to love our senior godbrothers, how to love our juniors. This feeling of love, actually, you see, when that feeling of love is, the word disappears when love becomes predominant. You see? When you love someone, it's bliss. You may work hard 24 hours a day, but it's not work anymore. It's love. So that's the key. Learn how to develop that loving feeling. I'm going to serve Krishna. Having come from a pious family and not having done some really gross, sinful acts, I can't see myself the most fallen. Could you please help me realize myself the most fallen? You don't realize how sinful you really are, sir. Every breath, you're committing mass murder with every breath. You think you're free of sin? You're an illusion. You're committing mass murder just by your breathing, just by driving down the road. There's so many insects killing the radiator of your car. You get the karma for all of that murder. You're a murderer, a mass murderer. So stop thinking you're free from any sin. You're a mass murderer. So therefore, you have to submit to Krishna. Yeah? Yeah, how much boga you ate. How much sin you consumed. Even if it's vegetarian, whether it actually, Prabhupada told us in Atlanta, whether you kill an animal, how did he tell us that? The whole point was whether you kill an animal or you kill a plant, you're still a murderer. That was the, oh yeah, whether you kill a high-class person in the society or some poor beggar, you're a murderer in either case, you see. So whether you eat an animal or a plant, you're a murderer. So don't think you're so pious. You're not so pious as you think you are, okay? I was reading in the fifth canto that if Krishna is pleased, then automatically the demigods, humans, animals, and everyone becomes pleased. I don't understand, how does it work? Let's say someone is cooking his food for Krishna, so Krishna is pleased, but at the same time, people suffer, animals being killed, so how is everyone being pleased when Krishna is pleased? By pleasing Krishna, we're pleasing the whole world, so why my parents, my mother was unhappy and I became a devotee? So should he please? Did I please Krishna? Well, she may not be pleased immediately, but I guarantee a mom will be pleased eventually, because so many generations will automatically get liberated when the devotee gets liberated. So when I go back to Godhead, mom will be there and she'll be really pleased that I became a devotee. So it may take some time, but actually everyone will be pleased by you taking a Krishna consciousness activity. Yeah.
But that example is given, by watering the root, all the leaves and branches get nourished.
Yes, sir. So, even though they may not realize they're being pleased, they're being greatly benefited. They're getting the greatest mercy they've ever gotten in millions of lifetimes. You see. By this Krishna consciousness movement is described, the Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna consciousness is the beginning of all auspiciousness. This Hare Krishna movement is the greatest blessing for the human society in the last 5,000. Well, of course, Lord Chaitanya inaugurated it. And this beginning from 500 years ago with the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Krishna consciousness movement is the greatest blessing upon the suffering humanity. It is bringing joy and happiness to everyone. It's just a matter of them understanding and waking up to it. So actually we're doing the greatest service for all living in this movement. Okay, this is a question from the other day, the same question, a nice memory of Vishnujan Swami. So I already answered this one. Any other questions? So I see one question there. Is that a question? No, it's not a question. Okay. So we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Please make your dedication in this movement and this project here, the ISKCON Melbourne project of ISKCON. Fully dedicate yourself to this project so that the whole city of Melbourne can become fully enlightened and awakened in Krishna consciousness as soon as possible. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.